Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name is Kelly, and we are gathering today to inspire you in your work with flowers.
Hey, everybody. It's Carrie with Team Flower. If you don't know me yet, I am the education coordinator here, and I love connecting with those of you just starting out or needing direction towards a floral goal. So if you haven't had the chance to talk to you, feel free to reach out to me anytime and set up a call and we can chat vision for your floral business or just a new skill you'd like to learn. It's my favorite part of the job is connecting with you all. So while preparing for the flower discovery today, I was trying to think of something bright because I live in the north and winter is long. We are starting to see small signs that winter's on its way out, but then the next day snow will suddenly emerge and smash that little glimpse of spring. So in thinking about this, I was brought back to when we lived in Georgia a little over a year ago. My family and I lived there for about 6 years. And one thing around this time of year I always looked forward to seeing was the daffodils pop up. To me, they were the first sign of hope that spring was right around the corner. And in thinking of this, I came across a poem by William Wordsworth about daffodils that I thought I could share today. So here goes. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on higher o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not be but gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had brought. For oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. So today, if you're like me, and you're looking for just a little spring to get you through, think on these bright little flowers that peek out to show us underneath that winter ground, hope and beauty still emerges each year, and it's right around the corner. You never know what little daffodil will be waiting for you tomorrow or next week. So hold on to that today. And you can stay tuned for our guest speaker on the podcast today. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Money, pricing, value. Do these words suddenly make you sweat and want to change the subject? Let's face it, pricing your work can be challenging and downright awkward at times. Hey everyone, it's Carrie with Team Flower here. Are you wondering what Team Flower is all about? Next month on March 8th, you can participate in a one-time class at teamflower.org/live. For just $49, you can learn something new each month. Join in with other floral enthusiasts and listen to Kelly speak on a relevant topic in the industry. You can attend live and ask Kelly any question during the session. Can't be online live at that time? Not to worry. The price includes recordings and notes to follow along. Each month, Kelly coaches us through a different topic within the floral industry that's valuable and relatable no matter what your level of experience is. This month's topic covers pricing and proposals. This is one you will not want to miss. Whether you've been in the industry or are just starting out, pricing and handling proposals can be a challenge for both veterans and beginners alike. Learn to price your pieces and streamline your business without over-ordering and wasting product. Register today by going over to teamflower.org/live. Let Kelly help you navigate through pricing dilemmas and begin building your own successful strategies. This doesn't have to be an area of concern for your business. Build your confidence by having the right system and philosophy in place. Bring your questions and concerns and join us live online on March 8th by registering at teamflower.org/live. Thanks, everyone.
Oh. Hello, everyone. Today on the podcast, we have Rachel Ellen of Rachel Ellen Events in Park City, Utah. Just to tell you a little bit about her and her business, they are a full-service wedding planning and design and floral design and production and execution company. So many things. I can't wait to unpack that a little bit more. They specialize in destination events and work with clients all over the world. You can most often find them in the mountains of Park City, the countryside chateau of France, and the coastal towns of the Northeast. Their floral design style is garden-inspired and strives to maintain a romantic, fine art aesthetic. They're rooted in creating experiences rather than just events, and do that through seamless planning and intentional design. If you want to be inspired both in picture and in word, make sure you give Rachel a follow on Instagram at Rachel Ellen Events, and you can pop over to her website at rachelellenevents.com. Rachel, thanks for being here. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to chat about all things flowers and design and, you know, everything that we love, right?
Yes, it is really fun to just like nerd out with other people who love flowers. That's one of my favorite things about the floral industry and like the community that we have here is just when you find someone else that knows, you know, what, the different types of baby's breath are, or how to process a rose or whatever, all those little details and what it's like to wash buckets and whatnot. I just think it's so fun to just like sit down and nerd out about it.
100%. One time I was working on flowers somewhere with someone that I didn't know very well. And they were like, hang on, are you talking to the flowers? And I was like, oh yeah. Sometimes I talk to the flowers while I arrange. And only another florist would ever understand like that's yes. Not actually that crazy. Sometimes you have to say, okay, Rose, I need you to like open up a little bit, or Ranunculus, we're going to like move in another direction. Work with me here. So it's always so fun to chat with people who get it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I've told a little cosmos like, hey, you need to dance in this direction, you know,
don't totally stay strong.
Yes. what are some things that you find yourself saying? Have you said anything to a flower that made you laugh out loud?
I feel like usually it's when I'm giving myself a pep talk. Maybe it's like a particularly hard event or something like that. And it's like, all right, sweet pea, you are going to survive through the day. I know it's hot. I know we're tired, but like, you know, let's do this kind of a thing.
You got this.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just as much for me as it is for the flowers at that point.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For sure. For sure. And soon enough, like the rest of your team starts joining in and doing it for themselves as well.
Totally.
You're just setting a good example for your team and your flowers. There you go.
Right. Right.
I would love for you to just like start out unpacking what it is that you do at Rachel Ellen Events. Because, I mean, yes, I read your bio and everything and everyone heard, but what does it mean and what does it look like to do wedding planning, design, floral design, production, and execution all together?
So it looks like madness all the time, but in a very buttoned up, seamless kind of way. Because the way I think of it, we kind of function with two different arms. One side is our like planning, logistics, very like, you know, straight-laced, organized side. And then the other side is our creative design, you know, experience, expressive side. And so what we do is basically try and marry those things together at all times so that everything is as beautiful as it is seamless and as organized as it is inspiring. And so for us, it's definitely a complex process in terms of like the actual execution of events, because, you know, with the flowers, everything is so hands-on and you really can't do that much, you know, too far in advance. If you could do all the flowers weeks before a wedding and then, you know, pace yourself and then just bring them and set them up the day of, that would be a totally different
ball game, but because so much happens in the, you know, 72 to 24 hours before an event with florals, that's obviously a really complex time, because at the same time, we're also managing, you know, guest arrival and guest experience and welcome parties and rehearsal dinners, and then the actual production of the event, and then, you know, the running of the ceremony and making sure that our clients are taken care of and that we're on time for dinner, and, you know, all of those very specific crazy details. And so for us, it's all about just being organized and having a plan. And we do a ton of dividing and conquering in terms of, okay, this team is on finishing the flowers for tomorrow, while this team is on production and running of the rehearsal dinner. And, you know, this team is on doing the ceremony arch, while, you know, this team is on making sure that the bridesmaids and the brides are taken care of and that they're all handled in their suite. And so it does probably sound like insanity and like so much, but it's so fulfilling to me to dabble in both sides of the really analytical planning portion of events, and then the very inspired creative design and floral part of events. And so that's why we do what we do, and why we do, you know, such a full service take on events rather than, you know, only handling the florals. And I would never say only florals, because florals are so time consuming and labor intensive, but that's why we do the floral and the event planning and the design of it all, to keep really everything creative and logistic kind of under one house, under one umbrella. And for us, it's been, you know, a really fulfilling process, and something that we feel like we're able to, you know, manage the right amount of control to help make it all flow very seamlessly from the design through the planning, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. It does make sense. Gosh, no wonder you have to give yourself a pep talk sometimes.
Totally. Yeah, it's exhausting, but it's really, really wonderful. We love it.
That's great. Do you find that you have a propensity towards one side of things over the other? Like, do you tend to gravitate more towards loving the planning part and logistics part, or more towards the creative side with the floral design?
I definitely love the creative side more. I would be lying if I said that I was like, just, I lived for timelines, but I think the organization and the planning side is what allows me to be creative, because I do have both sides to like my personality and the way that I think. And so one supports the other. So while I, you know, I don't wake up every morning feeling excited about floor plans, I need those things, and I need that structure in order to give me the room to create the way that I want to and that I'd like to. So I feel like yes and no, I need both, but if, you know, if I had to choose, I would definitely say the creative design side of things.
So let's talk a little bit about your team, because obviously, like, if you're doing this much for one, for every event, then you've got to have a team that works with you. So what, you can even walk us through, Rachel, the building of your team whenever, like from when your business started to today, and what that process has looked like for you. And, you know, when did you know that you needed to work with other people? When did you know you needed help? And walk us through that process a little bit.
Sure. So I think a little bit of background on like how I started is important for context. So when I was in college, my major was experience design, which is about as close to a major in event planning as I think you can get at this point. At least it was at my university. And so one summer while I was in college, I had a bunch of friends that were headed to the East Coast to do internships for the summer. And so I joined them out there, and I did an internship with a company who was full service in the same way that we are now. And it was baptism by fire. It was the craziest summer of my life, but I was just living for the fast-paced environment of the events, the creativity, the whole thing. And so I came home to finish school, and I was like, you know what, I would love to find a company And I was in Utah at the time. I would love to find a company that I could work for who was doing, you know, something similar to the company that I was working for in New York to what they were doing. And I searched around and I couldn't really find any companies that were doing full service events. There were a lot of coordinators, a lot of florists, a couple like more full service event planners, but no one that was really doing the full spectrum of things. And so while I was in college, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to start my own company. And maybe by the time I graduate, I'll, you know, have a client or something. And I did a little bit of editorial work and put together a website, started an Instagram, just, you know, a few kind of like low key back end things. Mm-hmm. And that first summer, I was booked every single weekend of the summer. It was the craziest thing ever. And I think there was just a need for what we were doing and kind of a new perspective on events and event planning. And I think that was really sort of the start of the huge trend that is destination weddings. And, you know, being in Park City, that was obviously major for getting the ball rolling there. So that's when everything started. And for that first summer, I only did florals or planning because I didn't feel like I had the systems in place or the manpower to do everything. And once I didn't have a team at that point, I was like recruiting, you know, high school friends and family and people to help me out with these events. And so after that first summer, I thought, you know what, this is wonderful, but I really do want to be doing the planning and the design and the floral design. And so that next year, it sounds hilarious when I say this out loud, but that next year I took on interns, which is so funny because I was only like a year out from being an intern myself, but I just needed some help. And we weren't in a place with the business where I was able to like hire anyone on full time at that point. And so I started taking interns, and they were, you know, totally crucial for the actual event portion of what we did. And that was amazing. And from there, I had a couple of interns that I just felt like were such a great fit. And they sort of stepped into freelance design and planning positions the next season. And then from there, we've just kind of snowballed it. So every year we take on a team of interns. And I love doing that because I got my start as an intern. And I love, you know, the opportunity for them to be able to receive college credit if that's something that they're looking for, because that was such a formative experience for me. I love to give back in that way. And it's so awesome to have so many hands on deck to help. So we take on interns every year. And at the end of every season, if the intern feels like they're still interested in, you know, the industry in general, and if we feel like they've been a good fit for our team, we move them into a freelance position. And so we've got now this amazing team of Rachel Ellen freelancers who are able to, you know, work with us throughout the event season. And then a couple of team members that are, you know, in more permanent roles. And so we've got a really great set team. And then the rest of it is kind of fluid, which is really fun because every season we're meeting, you know, new people and bringing new people onto the team and, you know, bumping people up from internships to freelancers. And so it's a really fun process. And like you said, with everything that we do have to have a huge team. It's not the sort of situation where it could be, you know, two or three florists sitting in a workshop getting things done. We typically have, I would say, at least 20 people working on one thing or another for every event that we're doing. So it's great, but it's crazy. There are a lot of moving parts mm-hmm. to it, but I think that's something that I love about it.
Man, what a fun and a big endeavor. I'm really excited to hear that you take on interns. I think that that could be something that more businesses look at doing, more floral design businesses even, and then those who are looking to do exactly what you're doing, which totally. Is the full service. Yeah, I think that's really awesome. And even though, you know, you started the intern program only a year out from being an intern, you knew what it was like to be an intern. So you knew, like, you knew what to expect. You knew what you needed. And so good job. Good job going for it. I think that is awesome. And I also want to just acknowledge and mention how wonderful it was that when you came back from New York, you found the need in your community. Like, you found your niche in the floral industry. There was a need that was not being met, and you said, I can meet this need. And I think that for those who are dreaming of joining the floral industry, or who are new in the business, or who are even pivoting or thinking of pivoting, it's so imperative to take a look at your local community and say, what is the need and how can I meet that need? And even working with other floral designers or floral professionals in the area can be super helpful in establishing a net, I guess, that captures everyone and brings totally. The flowers there. So really good job on that. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think that it's really important for those who want to get into the flower world.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of times people get caught up in what they see right in front of them. And the reality is, like, the market that I'm in, we don't need another me. We need another someone else. And so I think, you know, I was actually chatting about this with one of my florist friends from Texas, Elizabeth, and she was saying, you know, Texas typically trends a little bit in a more like traditional conservative direction with their florals and the things that clients want. And she definitely specializes in more of a garden inspired look, similar to what we do. And I think it's so amazing that she's doing that in a market that doesn't necessarily understand that at this point, because she is filling a need that, you know, is not really being offered by other florists, because that's not necessarily what's in demand, but that is, you know, that is what she wants to be doing as a creative. And I think that that applies to, you know, to any venue, any state, any location, you know, whatever, because just because you're in the mountains of Park City does not mean that you need to be doing, you know, rustic cowboy weddings, or just because you're on, you know, the beaches of Mexico does not mean everything needs to be like bright tropical beach inspired design. I think whatever it is that you're passionate about, whether it's, you know, a specific sort of aisle or lane of design, or sustainability, or, you know, full service events, or whatever it is, there is a need for it. And if you're passionate about it, you'll find the right people who are looking for that, and you'll be the answer to the hole that they had been feeling, even if they weren't aware of it. So I think it's just major to find your lane and figure out how to serve in that lane. And that doesn't mean you can't pivot, like you said, but I think, you know, just kind of focusing on what it is that you're passionate about and how you can serve your ideal market is so much more valuable than trying to serve people that are already being served in a style that is already being created. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. So while we're talking about identifying needs and meeting needs, I wanted to get your thoughts on, how do you think the floral community, the floral industry, can help meet the needs of one another? Does that make sense? Like, how can we support each other better and meet one another's needs?
I think, I mean, everyone knows the last 2 years have been so hard as
florists.
Like, there are just no words for how hard it's been. And, you know, supply chain doesn't just affect the florals, it also affects like our supplies, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. We couldn't find chicken wire all summer, and like our vases weren't coming in, and just so much unneeded stress and drama surrounding that. And then on top of it, it's, you know, it's hard to find people who are in a position to even work events when everything is so crazy going on in the world. And so I think for me, it's really just building up a community around you of people that are willing to support you and understand that there are more than enough weddings to go around. There are more than enough events to go around. Just because I land a very, you know, big, exciting project doesn't mean you can't also have one of those. And honestly, even in the same weekend, like, just because there's some for me doesn't mean there's not any for you. And I think the more that people adopt that mentality and serve people, you know, when they can, whether that's, you know, messaging to your group of local florists and saying, hey, I've got an extra box of Smilax that we didn't use. Who wants it? Or, oh my gosh, my vases didn't come in time. I'm 8 short. Does anyone have 8 of this style that can help me, you know, fill the hole in my inventory for next weekend? Or, you know, hey, I don't have a wedding this weekend. Do you need an extra hand? Or whatever it is, I think we can't even put a value on what it means to have a community of people who are willing to serve each other in that way, because you never know when you're going to be the one who needs the extra vase or the extra set of hands or the extra Smilax because yours is lost, you know, wherever in the mail. And if you're in a position where it's your turn to offer it, absolutely offer it. And I think that's really, that's going to do far more than anything else, because we all need that support and we all need to feel that, you know, if we're falling, there are people there to help catch us and like launch us back up before we dive into the intensity in terms of physicality and emotions that, you know, is events.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. It is. We need one another. We are better. We're stronger together. We're better together. Yeah. I'm really glad that you hit on those points, Rachel. And I'm sure that you have seen those types of things come to fruition in your own life and in your own floral community there in Park City. And it's the, one of the beautiful things about technology and social media, it is that it expands our network and our community. Like you were just saying, you have a flower friend in Texas that you chat with regularly. Like, you know, we can have flower friends all around the world and chat with them about what it's like for them, where they are, and how can we meet their needs and so on and so forth. So I love it. It's beautiful.
It really is.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to change directions a little bit before we wrap up. And I wanted to ask you to speak to people who are new in the industry and people who are trying to learn floral design. What are some design skills that you think are really helpful for a florist to develop?
Oh man, I think really everything is, you know, there's not one thing that's more valuable than another, but I think before you start diving into major installations, so we're talking like massive, you know, aisle pieces or arches or, you know, full walls of flowers or whatever, I think it's really important to nail down the basics in terms of the style that you want to be working in. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people do too much too quickly because, you know, we see it on Instagram and Pinterest and wherever. And so it's like, if, you know, they're doing that, why can't I? And of course you can, but I think you will better serve your clients if you are not over promising for the state that you're at in your own like business and your own floral journey. And so, you know, maybe for the first couple of weddings, you're offering primarily centerpieces, personals, and maybe like, you know, large compote arrangements for a ceremony, and that's it. And you don't dabble in installations and the things that require a bit more construction, and you're dealing with how to keep flowers hydrated and all of those things. I think that's probably a huge thing to tackle. Obviously bouquets are major if you're in the wedding space, not just, you know, events. And I think, really nailing down your style there and making sure that you can consistently produce bouquets that you are proud of and that you know your brides are going to look at and be so excited about. I think that's huge because bouquets are, they're the most looked at floral piece of a wedding. And so they're, you know, they're something that can be criticized more than other things because they have more eyes on them. They've got eyes on them all day long. And I think just making sure that you understand how to make those, you know, solid and beautiful consistently. And then I think do not take for granted the front end portion of floral design. So your processing and your hydrating and your cleaning of buckets and your cleaning of vases and all of those things, that is not something that you can skip over because you're like, you're overwhelmed or you're busy with learning how to actually design the flowers. If you don't have healthy product and you haven't set yourself up to succeed in that way by doing the grunt work of making sure that things are clean and ready to go, then no matter how, you know, beautifully you've arranged whatever it is that you're doing, if the flowers are dead, they're dead. You know, if they're not hydrated, they're not hydrated. And so I think taking those things both very seriously in terms of developing your own basic skills and making sure that you do not discount how important the prep work is for, you know, building successful event florals.
Yes. Yes. That efficiency in the grunt work creates smooth and stunning product. That, totally. That's the foundation. It's the foundation of success.
Right.
Yeah. And very important. And, you know, all of that manual labor is, it's gotta be done by someone.
Totally. So, and that actually reminds me of something. I think one thing that I've always tried to do is I don't like to leave that grunt work for the interns only. Like as a team, we all wash buckets, we all fill buckets, we all prep vases, we all strip roses, we all do all of those things, because it's so important to me that my team knows that that's not just like something, that's not like a coffee run, that is just as important as the actual arranging. And so we all do everything together all of the time, just to really emphasize the importance of that, and to also make sure that everyone knows that like this is a team effort. And so it doesn't matter that I'm like technically the most senior person here. If I need to be on my hands and knees cleaning up garbage to like hurry and get it done, that's what I'm going to be doing. And that's what we should all be doing. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. A humble leader makes a great leader. You know, that's, I love that you mentioned that, because I think the tendency is to leave the grunt work to those who may not have as much experience, but doing it all alongside one another, it not only lets your team know, hey, this is important, it also builds camaraderie amongst one another and respect, I believe. So,
totally.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. I have loved chatting with you today, Rachel, but before we close out, I want to just give you an opportunity to just share what's on your heart for the floral industry as a whole. It could be anything. It could be a painting you saw recently, or a song you listened to, or just a word of encouragement, whatever's on your heart to share with everyone. I want to give you the mic to do that.
Of course. I think something that I've been thinking about recently is I just want everyone to remember to continue to be inspired. I think with the last few years, honestly, have we even had time to be inspired? I'm not sure, because we've been dealing with things, you know, in our personal lives and in our professional lives that we've never had to deal with before. And chances are this is not going to be the last time we're dealing with, you know, very heavy, intense, you know, stuff like we have the last 2 years. And so I think just remember to find time to be inspired. You'll be a better designer for it. You'll be a better person for it. I think you'll also be a better, you know, friend, spouse, whatever you are to whoever you are. And just, you know, find the things that work for you. If scrolling on Pinterest is what inspires you, absolutely do that. If finding new music or going to an art museum or, you know, exercising your creativity in other ways, photography, ceramics, cooking, whatever it is that inspires you and allows you to recharge, remember to do that and find time to do that, because I think as an industry, as a whole, we really need to come back to a place of thriving and not just surviving. And I really believe that inspiration is what's going to do that, because that's what inspired us all to get started in the first place. Like the way that looking at a painting makes you feel, and you know, the need to create because you're inspired by all of the beautiful things around you. So just, you know, to everyone, we did it and it's been hard, but let's step into a new phase of, you know, thriving and swimming rather than sinking and feeling like we're drowning, because we'll all be happier and, you know, create more beautiful things with that in mind.
That's such a good reminder, such a good word of encouragement. I mean, I'm finding inspiration just chatting with you and listening to you talk. So,
so nice.
But Rachel, it has been a joy to have you on today. Thank you for taking the time to be here. And thank you for just what you're doing and loving the world through flowers. It's noticed and appreciated. So good job.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to chat. It's been great to kind of just talk about my favorite thing ever. I love flowers.
Yes. And nerd out the together.
Yes. Totally. So thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun.
Absolutely. And everyone, make sure that you pop over to Instagram and give Rachel a follow at Rachel Ellen Events. And you can find their website at rachelellenevents.com, or it'll be linked over in the show notes. So you can pop over to teamflower.org and find us all there. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.